Today I want to talk to you about prayer. Thought of this topic because it was just something that I felt like I needed to focus on more. And I would imagine that there are probably people among us who feel the same way, that they would like to focus a little bit more on that. The approach that I want to take today is to look at prayer as spiritual self-discipline. And discipline is a word with a definition, of course, and I looked up a few and I came up with one that I thought would be most helpful. Discipline is defined as control established by setting and following rules. Right? Discipline. That's the word where we get disciple from. Or actually, I think it's the other way around. From disciple, we get the word discipline. Anyways, they're related. And so this control established by rules could include things like time management techniques. It could include setting and meeting long-term or medium-term or short-term goals. So these are the kind of things that you might have heard if you've been to some sort of seminars at work where they're trying to get you to work more efficiently so they can make more money and so forth. But it can also be principles that work well for you. Discipline also involves control over our impulses to reach that stated goal. Let's say our goal was to lose some weight. Well, we have to overcome, we have to practice self-discipline over our impulses to reach the goal that we have. So discipline is, I think, something we can all agree on is a good thing. It's good. Discipline leads to success in business. It leads to success in artistic endeavors. You're not going to become a great guitar player or a great piano player if you don't practice some discipline. It also is applicable to raising a healthy, happy family. You have to put work in. You have to have discipline as a parent. You have to exercise discipline with the children. And it's also applicable to your spiritual life. Your spiritual life. So today, let's look at prayer as a form of self-discipline. Okay? And we'll discuss some helpful techniques to improve and focus your prayers, and then a brief discussion on the content of prayers. And there's a lot more that could be said. This is probably something I will do not just the one time. It's been a long time. I was looking through the records and it had been a long time since I have talked about prayer, and I thought, okay, we need to get talking about this again. And like I said in the introduction, I felt like it was something that I personally needed to think through and to focus on. And I'm guessing there might be some in the congregation who are also thinking along the same lines. So you might ask, why do I need to pray? I mean, God knows everything, right? He's all powerful. He knows in advance before I even ask what I need. So why do I have to ask, right? Why do I need to pray? Why do I need to pray? Well, prayer is about self-development. And if you think about it, if you step back and you think about what are we doing here on a weekly basis, what are we doing with the holy days, what are we doing in our personal lives, it is about self-development. Self-development that leading us onward on the way to eternal life as a spirit being. And prayer is part of that. It is part of developing an interactive relationship with God, your creator. You know, we learn a lot about the mind of God and the purpose of God by reading scripture. You know, Bible reading is part of what we do here. We do it as part of the service. I hope that you are reading God's word as part of your life and setting aside time for that. We also learn about God's mind and God's purpose through our own personal obedience. We also learn through suffering and trial and test. But prayer pulls all these together. It pulls all of these together and puts them in a context of God, your Father. your Creator, actively working in your life and you actively responding back to Him. So it's not just His word coming at you. It's not just, obeying. It's not just going through trials. There's a response. And this is prayer. And this pulls it together, if you will. And if you think about it, in the context of self-development and your spiritual life, and the question, why do you need to pray? In prayer, you are alone with God. It's just you and your Father Creator when you're in prayer. And some people like this phrase and some people don't. It's your spiritual safe place. You're safe there. And when you're in prayer with God, you can be totally honest and you can talk to God about absolutely anything and everything. You can even talk to God about some things that you might not want to, or perhaps shouldn't talk about with other people. You can talk to God about everything and anything. You're safe there. You're safe there. And God hears. He hears and He evaluates all things. And this is one of the many great things about God. Now He hears everything that you talk about, your prayers, and He evaluates them in total righteousness. Now, if that was it alone, that'd be kind of scary, you know? Total righteousness. Because I know enough about myself that if I'm judged on the basis of total righteousness, I come out looking pretty bad and pretty concerned. But the other part of God's personality, His character, and His mind is that He also is evaluating everything that's in your prayers with overwhelming mercy and His grace, which is just a kind of a biblically way of saying He's on your side. He wants good things for you. He's offering you favor. He wants your success. And He has a personal concern for your salvation and your eternal well-being. And these things are what are going on in that safe place of prayer. So, would you like to pray more? Would you? I got a few hands. I didn't get any hands in Raleigh. They didn't. They took it as a rhetorical question. I don't know. Maybe they're just the spiritual giants. I would like to, as I mentioned in the introduction, it's something I felt that I wanted to think about more and work on more. If you think about, did I go backwards by my mistake? Yeah. If you think about it, reading through Scripture, prayer is one of the good works that God has prepared in advance for you to do. He's prepared good works for us to walk in, and prayer is one of them. Not the only one, but one of them. And so in this way, prayer contributes to the reward that you lay up for yourself in heaven. It's part of that reward that you lay up for yourself, which Christ brings with Him at His return. So it's significant in that way as well, beyond self-development. I mean, I actually think it's tied in with self-development because the self-development that you go through is really what the reward comes from. You know, you're not going to get a big treasure chest of gold when Christ returns. You're going to be given something that's based on your spiritual development. You're going to be given opportunities to lead and to help others in growth because you've learned, right? So your spiritual development, your reward, they're all tied together like that. Now, there are, and I think this is a safe thing to say, there are many among us who simply do not pray enough. Okay? And you can blame it on a variety of different things. You can blame it on our fast-paced society. You know, you get up in the morning, sometimes you've barely got enough time to get breakfast ready, you swallow down some coffee. Maybe you even take your coffee with you in the car and you're off. And you're off to work. And then you get to work and you start working. And then you come home from work and you're tired and you just want to watch some TV and eat. And boom. It's a fast-paced society. Where's the time to pray? You can blame it on that. I mean, that's a reality. That's what we all face. You could blame it on our obsession with entertainment and amusement. We are obsessed with entertainment and amusement. You know, and maybe just a little less time in front of the television, a little less time, you know, scrolling on our phone would be helpful for us, not just with prayer, but with a lot of different parts of our lives. But we have a problem. They say about alcoholics or drug addicts, part of the overcoming is acknowledging, I have a problem. We have a problem. You could blame it on a simple addiction to sin. That could be what's holding us back. We could have some addiction to a particular sin. And you know what sin does? Sin separates us from God, right? Having sin that's unresolved, that's unforgiven, that can create a problem in this safe space that we're looking for. But regardless of why or what you can blame it on, who loses? We do, right? God doesn't hurt God. It's no skin off his nose if we don't pray. It's our loss. And he feels it for us. But it's our loss if we don't. Now, some of the ideas that I have in this message will work for you, I hope. And some of them won't. They just won't. Because we're all unique. Everybody's different. Everybody has a different approach to things. Some people are morning people, you know, and they get up. Ring, and the alarm rings, and they're up, boing, and it's 6 o'clock, and the sun, oh, and it comes out the window, and they're like, I'm going to pray and do Bible study. And off they go. I have met people like that. Self-confession, I am not one of them. I'm the other kind of person. I get out of bed, and I'm looking for the coffee urn, and I have to sit down and you know, recover from having gotten out of bed. And it's just hard for me to start in the morning. People are different, all right? And people have different circumstances in life. You know, if someone's a mother of a young child, a two-year-old or something like that, her life is just driven by different schedules and different things going on than, you know, someone who's got a 9-to-5 job, or, you know, someone who works at home or whatever. We have different circumstances. And the purpose of these ideas that I'm going to go through with you is not to try and impose some sort of additional burden on you, as to say, well, here are some things you must do if you're going to be, you know, a person of prayer. That's not what I don't want to come across that way at all. Neither do I want you to think that I'm offering you a guaranteed recipe for success. You know, if I just have the right combination of this and a little bit of that, and I mix it up just right, I'm going to be set. That's not what I'm offering it either. If you get one good thing out of the sermon, I will be very happy. And if you've been around long enough, you've probably heard all of the ideas that I'm going to present to you before. Right, so if you've been around 30, 40, sometimes even 50 years, you've heard all this stuff before. I've heard all this stuff before. But there might be some people, and I think, you know, there are some people in the congregation who are young enough that, well, they haven't heard this before. So this will be new for some people. It'll be old hat for some, but new for others. So I would like to begin with four ideas to increase time and attention to prayer. Okay, and those are to plan time to pray. And then number two, to build our mental focus. Number three, to learn by example. And number four, to get organized. Planning time to pray. Nobody wanders their way into the office of CEO or you know, being the CEO at a big company. You don't just sort of walk in the front door and then bang against, and next thing you know, you're the CEO. That's not how it works, is it? No, it is not how it works. That is not how you become a great musician either. You have to work at it. You have to plan. You have to set aside time to practice. You know, when our kids were young and they were learning to play piano, their mother would do that for them. They are on their own now, but she would set aside time for them, and you know, they had a planned time to practice. And in the same way, we don't wander and stumble our way into a strong spiritual life. That's not how it works. We don't wander into disciplined prayer. Now, establishing times, set times for prayer, can turn wishful thinking into solid action. I mean, you all raised your hands when I asked, you know, does anyone want to pray more? And some, not all. I guess there's some people here who don't need any help. But, oh, you? Oh, okay. So, wanting to pray, yeah, well, that's good. How about knowing the importance of prayer? And I've given messages before that talk about the importance of prayer, and we can go through the scriptures and show how important it is. But wanting it, knowing how important it is not as good as actually doing it, right? And the doing is what really reflects our priorities, more so than our desire or our good intentions or our head knowledge. Go to Luke 5, verse 6. Luke 5, verse 16. Verse 16. Short verse says this. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Now, this is during Jesus' time of ministry. And when Jesus was in the throes of his ministry, the impression that I get from reading through the Gospels is that his life was very much, you know, here, there, and doing this, and he didn't have like a regular schedule. He was going from place to place, and he was very often reacting to what was happening in the moment. But even with that kind of a life where things weren't predictable and routine, he made time to pray. He made the time to pray. Now go to Daniel 6. Daniel 6, verse 10. This is coming up when Daniel he's in big trouble because the head of the Persian government there was tricked into making this crazy law that said you can't pray to anybody but him. They're doing this to try and get at Daniel. And what does Daniel do? Okay, verse 10, it says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to God, just as he had done before. So Daniel had planned times set aside to pray. Now Daniel, very different from Jesus, Daniel was a bureaucrat in the government, right? So his life was probably very, very routine. It was probably the same thing every day, you know, kind of like having a regular 9-to-5 job, if you will. But I would put it to you that his life was very regulated. And so what did he do? He had planned times set aside for prayer. This does not mean I am saying that you need to pray three times a day, or twice, or five times a day like a Muslim. That's not what I'm getting at. The point is to make time, to set aside time for prayer. That can help. And Daniel's a really good example. We went through the book of Daniel. I gave a series of messages, actually 12. And one of the things that really jumped out at me when I was going through the series on Daniel, don't know if it jumped out to you, but that Daniel was a man of prayer. Daniel was a man of prayer. Twice Daniel was specifically commended by an angel sent from God regarding his prayers. And those aren't the only times that we're introduced to him praying, but he was a man of prayer, highly esteemed of God. Now, the downside of a routine time for prayer, and there is a downside to it, is that if we do that, it can lead into a form of ritualism. We just end up sleepwalking our way through the motions. Oh, okay, it's 9 o'clock. Oh, you know, do some prayer. Okay, done. And then you're on. And, you know, however many times you pray, you just kind of have a, you know, very ritualistic way of looking at it. That's a downside. That's a possibility. And you might have been through that yourself if you've been at this game a long time. You might have gone through the seasons, the many seasons of life, and found that, yeah, you slip into that a little bit sometimes. However, with that said, we can't say that we truly value prayer unless we do it. And it's very easy for the cares of the day to easily just overwhelm your thoughts. You know, you get into the day and you start moving along, and next thing you know, you're swept up in it. You can't get out of it. And boom, ooh, it's bedtime. Planning time for prayer can help. I'm not saying you have to, but it can help. Let's talk about building mental focus. Building mental focus. Stop daydreaming. All right, has anyone ever started to pray and then drifted off in their mind and start thinking about other things? Like, you know, you're praying and then you start thinking, what, did I remember to pull the chicken out of the freezer so I can cook dinner? You know, I got to hook up and take her there. Or you're praying and you know, you say, oh, you know, I got that presentation coming up on Thursday, and I got to put in that point about sales. Yeah, don't forget that. Oh, back to prayer. You know, or maybe you're praying and you're wandering, and you think, which of the Batman movies was really the best? So you can find yourself drifting. Anyone ever drifted off in prayer? Yeah, you know, maybe you simply drift off to sleep during prayer. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but in the middle of prayer, you might even go that far to drift off into sleep. Well, you're not alone. You're not alone. It happens. Staying focused takes effort. So I've got a few things to think about here. How you can build mental focus. One, try praying out loud. Now, some people are okay with that. You know, they pray, and you know, if they're praying, if you're near them, you'd know, because they're saying the words out loud. You know, maybe not yelling at the top of their voice, but you know they're speaking the words. If you're not comfortable with that, you might want to just, you know, like pull back a bit and maybe try moving your lips as if speaking, but remaining silent. Now, for that, go to 1 Samuel 1, verse 19. This made me think of Hannah, one of the women that we know from Scripture, and she's a woman of prayer. 1 Samuel 1, verse 19. So she's very distressed. She's unable to have children. As she kept on praying in verse 12, let's start in verse 12. She kept on praying to the Lord. Eli, who was the priest in the temple, observed her mouth. And Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. And Eli thought she was drunk, and he said to her, how long are you going to stay drunk? Stop drinking. So there's an example of someone who's using this way of praying, moving the lips, but not so something that people can hear. Okay, another way, this one I have found particularly helpful over the years, is to pray over the Scriptures. And a very good section of Scripture to do this with is the book of Psalms, to just pray through the Psalms. And that can be a real boost. It can be a real guide. There are plenty of other places you can work with this. Some sections of Scripture are better than others, I guess, but it really is kind of up to you what your what your thought process is. And as I said, people are different. So this can also help you from not praying the same thing every time. I mean, there's a certain amount of prayer we want to be persistent, you know, persisting in prayer, but then we can also get into a routine where we're always praying the same thing. Okay, so this can help. Related to that, not quite the same, is to tie your prayers into your Bible reading. Okay? If I go back to Daniel again, I mentioned him as this example of prayer. Well, in Daniel chapter 9, the entire chapter is dedicated to him praying. But if you start the chapter, you find that he's reading, and he says, I'm reading, and he's reading Jeremiah. He's reading Jeremiah 25 through 29, and he's pondering it, and he starts praying. So he's tying his prayer into Scripture. Another way is to follow or use biblical models. And this could be going to some of the other model prayers in Scripture. We have prayers from Daniel, we have prayers from Moses, Mary, Paul, a lot of prayers from Paul, and these can be helpful for us as well, to read them carefully and then consider, okay, what are they praying about? And why are they praying that prayer at that time to those people? And I mean, that's their own unique time and space and so forth. We'd have to take it to the next level and say, well, how can I apply that to my life and here and now? You know, why is Moses praying that in that way at that time to those people? How would that maybe apply those principles to me? Okay, last one, you probably all heard this. I hope you have. If you haven't, now you're hearing it. Use prayer lists. Write things down that you want to pray about. When something comes to mind, write it down. And, you know, there can be all kinds of things that come up and you think, oh, I need to pray about that. And June asked me to pray about that and I need to pray about this. And then you get to the point where you're ready to pray and it's all gone, right? I can't, what am I going to pray about? Well, write it down. Maybe that'll help. I'm not saying you have to. I'm just saying it's a technique that some people find very helpful. And then, you know, you write them down. You can refer to them later as you pray. Variation on that, journaling. All right, that would be where you write an idea down, something you want to pray about, and then you follow up with it again, and you have follow-up thoughts, and you have sort of more like a dialogue with yourself in writing. Okay, that's something you can do. But verbalizing and writing down ideas have an additional benefit. They can also help slow down the pace of prayer. Slow down the pace so you can increase the amount of time that you have to think about it and self-examine, okay? Because remember, we're talking about self-development here. Okay, idea number 3, learn by example. Now, this is one that I think some people will like this, a lot of people won't. A lot of people will find this kind of alien and strange. Learning by example from someone who is good at prayer can be helpful. Before we even get out of the blocks on this one, a caveat or a warning, if you do try and find someone to pray with so that you can learn more about prayer, do not choose someone of the opposite sex unless they are your spouse, all right? That's just very important. Don't do that. Because prayer creates a very intimate setting, and that intimacy can lead to sexual sin, and you don't want to go there. Remember, you're coming before God, and this is not good to do that. Now, if you're a person who's really good at prayer, you might want to reach out to someone who you think could benefit from a practical example. And this kind of pushes a lot of us out of our comfort zone. And for some people, this would be like, no, I don't want to do that. And don't feel like you have to. I'm just saying this is something that other people have found helpful. All right? But a primo example of that would be working with children. All right? Working with children. And, you know, with a child-parent relationship, as a parent, you know more than the child. And, you know, you have things you can pass on to the child. But if you are working with a child in this way, you should try and move it beyond just, you know, simply like the asking of a blessing at dinner time or something like that, and actually, you know, have prayer about something else. But it's not just for parents and children. It's something that other people can do as well. Let's go to Luke 11, verse 1. Luke 11, verse 1 through 11. It says here, one day Jesus was praying at a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught. taught his disciples. So there's a biblical example of this sort of, you know, learning by example thing, all right? Weird as it feels to us in the 21st century, it is something, it is scriptural. So you can feel confident in doing this. I think we've got a lot of cultural barriers that would be problematic, but something that, you know, is there in Scripture. And then it goes on and he says, okay, he said to them, all right, well, when you pray, say this, Father, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. Lead us not into temptation. And then he said to them, okay. So he gave them a little bit of content. You know, here's a kind of a structure you can use for prayer. I don't think he was intending that they have a 5-second prayer. And he says to them, suppose you've got a friend and you go to him at midnight and you say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I've no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, well, don't bother me now. The door's already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So there's the scripture that speaks of us going boldly before God with our requests. So I say to you, he's got more. He says, I ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So Jesus went to pray. You know, they saw him often praying. And this may have been an instance where he was praying, where they could see him praying, or maybe they just always knew that he went off to pray. And they wanted to know more. Teach us, tell us, show us how. And he does. He gives them a basic structure, some content suggestions, and then he offers a parable about boldness and persistence and God's attitudes to prayer, how God feels about your prayers when you ask for things. So if you are learning from someone else or seeking to learn from someone else, an important thing to remember is that different people have different strengths, okay? And you don't want to be just mimicking someone. You know, if you're learning from someone, focus on the content, focus on the structure, focus on the passion. It could be very easy to get wrapped up in a person's personal mannerisms or their speech patterns. You know, there might be someone who's really good at prayer, but they like to say thee and thou a lot, or, you know, shan't and things like that, using the old King James language. Well, if you thought that makes prayer more effective, you'd be missing the boat and just imitating them in that way. Focus on the content, the structure. Now, this idea, as I mentioned, kind of butts up against some of the cultural barriers that we have. We tend to think of prayer as something that must be kept very private. And our culture around us is telling us, oh, you can have your religion, but you need to keep it to yourself. We kind of get this idea that praying in front of others or praying with them risks becoming prideful. And if you look at Matthew 6, let's go there, Matthew 6, verse 5, Jesus kind of says some of those things. Matthew 6, verses 5 through 8, he says, and when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. That's the verse I'm talking about when I said prayer is about reward. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. So Jesus' teaching on prayer advises privacy. And that, I put it to you, is the primary biblical example. that safe space where you can talk to God, where you can say what you need to say. You know, I think if you were praying together with someone, you wouldn't talk about certain things. I'd hope not. But we do have biblical examples of church members praying together. And I want to read these through because there have been times in the past when we've had people who are very much opposed to us praying together and made a big stink about it. So let's take a look at Acts 1, verse 14. And I don't think we have that problem right now. But Acts 1, verse 14 says, this is when they were gathered together to, they replaced Judas and, you know, they've just done this monumental thing or very important thing. And then it says, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women. So it wasn't just the 12. It was along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So a big group of people. And they got together and they prayed together. Acts 4, verse 24. Acts 4, verse 24 says, this is when Peter and John were released from the Sanhedrin. They were worried about it. It says in verse 24, when they, this is the, you know, the 120 or more people who were part of the church at that time, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them, and you spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. So this in some ways appears to be more of a public prayer, you know, like what we might do if we were getting up and praying about something in a congregational setting. But notice there the use of scripture tied in with prayer. So tying scripture in to your prayers is a really good thing to do. You know, God's made promises, right? He's said certain things in his word, and it can be very helpful to bring those into prayer and to use them in your prayer and remind God of them. Well, you know, God, there's this in your word, and you said this and that. Well, you know, let's tie it into this situation that I'm praying about. That would be one of the things you could do if you were doing a journal sort of thing or writing things down. You can put the scriptures together with them. More on this, though, Acts 16, verse 25. Says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Acts 20, verse 36. Acts 20, verse 36. Says, when Paul had finished speaking, this is his farewell to the Ephesian elders here. When Paul was finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. And they all wept and they embraced him and they kissed him. So there's people praying together as Paul's getting ready to leave. Okay. Idea number four. Get organized. Get organized. And this kind of ties in a little more elaboration on the prayer list idea. There are so many situations that come up. There are so many spiritual needs that you've thought of, other people have asked you about. There's so many requests for intercession that you can feel kind of overwhelmed. You know, if you have too much information input, you can kind of get into that point where you're almost in a catatonic state. You don't know what to do first, so you don't do anything at all. And prayer can be like that. Or it can just simply be hard to remember it all. Now, everybody has their own style and their own way of organizing, so use what works for you. But many people, as I mentioned earlier, find that writing down items is very helpful, items that need to be addressed in prayer. We've already mentioned that in a prayer list, but maybe we want to add a little bit more organization to it. Because you don't want to have a list and you just have the same list for, you know, like, you know, a whole year, and, you know, you say, well, I've been praying for Bob for, you know, 4 years. How's he doing? Well, you didn't hear? Bob died 3 years ago. So you want to keep this up to date, right? So you could try keeping separate lists for let's see, perennial, midterm, short term. So there's some things you pray about all the time, right? So that would be, you know, your spouse, your family, your job, things that need constant attention and care, the local church area. I hope that's something that you would add to your list as well. And these, you know, they've all got daily needs that will be mentioned all the time, general protection, guidance, wisdom. And they also have needs that come and go. So the list needs to be updated, but those might not need to be updated as often, okay? An example, let's say your daughter's having trouble with her boss at work. And you know, you just pray about it for a while. That'd be more of a short-term thing for a long-term person, right? Then there are needs that are, you know, more short-term or more mid-term, and you have to be the decider on what's short, what's mid. And these you might want to keep on a separate list so that you can edit them. So if you start editing, you don't have to edit your long-term perennial one every time you want to edit. So you have the things that are probably going to come and go more quickly on a different sheet. That will just help with the editing, keeping them up to date, because that's my second point there. You want to edit your list and drop items when appropriate. Follow up on things. What's happened? Is this still a valid problem, a valid concern? And then three, as I've mentioned before, if you're doing one of these and you want to get organized and you want to tie scripture in, tie the scripture in by writing it down with the point. So organize your thoughts, and that might be something you find helpful, okay? Now, let's switch gears. Let's talk about content a little bit, all right? The content of prayer. What to pray about? What should we pray about? And look, we have a definite bias toward viewing prayer as asking for things. Am I right? We think prayer is about asking for things. But if you go and you look at some of those model prayers that I just pointed you to, prayers of Moses or Daniel or Paul, what you're going to find there is that the biblical model for prayer is more of a combination of praise, confession, and requests. Okay? And I think these are three basic areas that we should take a look at. Okay? Praising God for all the amazing things that He does, the uplifting aspects of His character, the promise, His purpose, what this is all about, that kind of thing. Then the second, very important, and I don't know if we do this enough, maybe we should, confessing our sins. Confessing our sins and seeking forgiveness so that they do not separate us from God. And if you look at these model prayers, I think you're going to find that that's a component in them. And confession as being part of your prayer kind of clears the deck, if you will. Clears the deck, blows all the cobwebs out, gets rid of all the stuff that could be coming between you and God. You know, that makes you unacceptable to Him. Or maybe it's just a matter of, you know, you've got some unresolved sin in your life and it leaves you feeling like, well, maybe you really shouldn't be there in prayer. You know, I'm not quite right and I shouldn't be praying right now. Well, the answer is not to not pray. The answer is to deal with the sin and seek forgiveness, which you do through prayer. So we want to have a good balance of these things. And then we can add requests, asking for blessings, help, wisdom, healing, deliverance, and so forth. A good balance. Now, since we're talking about our bias towards viewing prayer as asking for stuff, let's talk about that a little bit more. Getting or not getting what we ask for is where most of people's questions about prayer and their hang-ups about prayer comes from. Well, I prayed for this, and I prayed a long time, and I prayed, and I had faith, and I was persistent, and it didn't work out. Okay? That is the kind of problem that people will come up with a lot. As a pastor, you hear it a lot. Over the years, you hear it a lot. So let's talk about this a little bit. Imagine a child asks her dad for a number of things, all of which he has the power and the money and the wherewithal to give. So first, she asks for a new outfit for church. First thing she wants is a new outfit for church. Well, that's wonderful. You're taking church seriously, you want to look good. Yeah, sure, no problem. I've got the money, we'll buy that. Boom, right away. We'll answer that right away. So second, she asks for a pony. Well, she is a little girl after all. So she asks for a pony. Now on this one, he holds back. Okay, he doesn't say no, but he holds back just to see, Is the child really serious about this, or is this just some passing phase or some whim? Because it seems like everybody goes through phases and whims and stuff like that. So he holds back on that one, right? Okay, the third, she asks for unrestricted access to the household internet. Now on this one, Dad says no. He's not going to give that one. Why? Because it's not in the child's best interests, right? Okay, number four. She asks for a pink sports car. She's just seen the Barbie movie, and she wants a pink sports car. Now for this one, Dad is only gonna give this under certain conditions. One, she has to be old enough to drive. Two, she has to take driving lessons, learn how to be a safe driver. Three, maybe he'll say something like, well, she's got to agree to pay for her own insurance or have some skin in the game. And yes, if these conditions are met. Now, as children, we are not assured that we get everything we ask for. The careful appraisal of requests is based on a relationship of love. I mean, Dad's answer to his daughter here, it's all based on love, isn't it? And God's answers to our prayer is based on a relationship of love. The Father loves his children. He loves you. And he gives gifts and he gives favors to help his children mature and to develop. And it's a relationship of love and care and concern for the outcome. What's best for you? What's going to take you where you need to and want to go? Okay, God has ordained, and this is another part of asking, God has just flat out ordained that some things only come through prayer. So go to John 16. So asking for things is not wrong. It's not a lesser form of prayer. It's definitely there in Scripture. And I like this one because it ties in the angle of the Father. In John 16, verse 23 through 27, Jesus says this. Okay, he's talking about his upcoming crucifixion, his death, and he says, you know, things are going to change. And in that day, verse 23, you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly, I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you've not asked for anything in my name, but ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Though I've been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. And in that day you will ask in my name. And I'm not saying that I will ask for the Father on your behalf. No, you'll talk to God directly. The Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. So the way God deals with us is based on a relationship of love. Now we also, when we're thinking about asking, because this is you know, a big deal, so we're spending a lot of time on this. When we think about asking, we need to ask for things thoughtfully. Right? We have to ask for things according to his will. James 4. Go to James 4, verse 2. And he is writing this to the church, even though the language sounds very, very stern. He says, you desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You don't have because you do not ask God. And when you do ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Go to Matthew 7, verse 7. So just asking isn't the whole answer. Matthew 7, verse 7 through 12. And you know, this is a repeat of some of the stuff we read earlier, but with a little bit of different emphasis on it. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, and this is the important verse here, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. So he's talking about prayer, and then he throws this verse in here, and he says, okay, pray. And then he brings in this verse that talks about, basically, I think what he's saying is, pray for others as you would like them to pray for you, which kind of changes the way you might pray. Okay, so if we need to pray in accordance with God's will and kind of change our thinking, how do I know God's will? How do you know God's will? Well, the answer is, you know God's will through Scripture. And the Bible is how we know God's purpose, and we know his goals, we know his values, we know his character, which is another great reason to tie Scripture into your prayers. And praise and confession are ways to get us thinking in line with God's will before we get to requesting anything. So we start getting ourselves in the right frame of mind, prayer, getting stuff out of the way that can, you know, block our connection with God, confession of sin, then we get to requests. So it all works together. You want to have a good balance of these things. You don't want to just be always just asking for stuff. You don't always want to just be praising. You don't always want to just be confessing. It all ties together. The help of the Holy Spirit. Now, sometimes when we're talking about the content of prayer, sometimes your prayers are off base. And sometimes they're off base and you don't even know that they are off base. It gets complicated. Maybe that's because we don't know the Scriptures as well enough, and so we're kind of confused about what God's will really is in this matter. That can happen. Maybe it is because we don't know all the circumstances of the situation. You know, as a pastor, one of the things that I've learned, I think I knew it before, but I've really had to learn it, is you need to make sure you hear both sides of the story. So sometimes we don't have all the info, and we don't know everything about a certain circumstance, and that can be, and if we're aware that we don't know, and we know that there's something out there, I'm praying about this, or I'm thinking about this, but there's something out there, I don't know, I don't really know all what's going on. At moments like that, we have to depend on God's Holy Spirit. So go to Romans 8, verse 24. And read through verse 27. It says, for in this hope we are saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. So he's talking about stuff that's out there. We know, we hope for, but we don't see it all totally clearly, right? And then he goes right into the next verse, which says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit itself intercedes for us through wordless groans. So sometimes you just have to rely on the Holy Spirit to fill in the gaps. And for this, you have to have faith. You may need to ask for this help if you're aware, you know, something's out there that you don't know, you don't understand. You might actually, you know, kind of have to deal with some stuff on your own end, some unresolved sin, like I've mentioned before. Maybe that's something that needs to happen. Go to Matthew 5, verse 23. It says here, therefore, if you're offering your gift on the altar and you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, so there's some problem there, there's conflict with this person, it's going to be a problem. So leave your gift there in front of the altar and first go and be reconciled to them and then come and give and offer your gift. So you want to clear the decks and get rid of all the conflicts, the sin, the problems before you start asking for stuff or giving, you know, getting really concerned about situations and so forth. So sometimes you just, the problem's on your end. You need God's Holy Spirit to tell you about that. Okay, persistence and time. Persistence and time. Go to Luke 18 and verses 1 through 8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. And for some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps on pestering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't come back and bother me anymore. And Jesus says, listen to what the unjust judge says. And won't God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him night and day? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find such faith on earth? So he's giving a parable here about persistence. And he's saying, you know, persistence paid off in this case with an unjust judge. Think about how much more God will answer. God who loves you, as opposed to this mean old judge. Now, most seem to think that our generation has developed a low attention span. And I'm talking from boomers to Gen Z. This is a pretty common observation. Anyone ever heard it? Yeah. We seem to have developed a low attention span. Our amusements, our distractions, our cell phones, our TVs, movies, all this stuff. A never-ending quest for more, 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 more. They've created a problem. And we have the problem. We all do. We have the same problem. We're in the society that we're in. We suffer some of the same problems. And, you know, one of the things that I learned about people who are addicted to drugs or alcohol is that the first thing they have to do is admit, I have a problem. Well, you have a problem. I have a problem. Just by virtue of living in this day and age, we have a low attention span. So make it one of your goals to pray long enough, that you get past that feeling of routine. You know, you've got your standard stock stuff you say, but go beyond the point where you're feeling like you're just checking off checks on a task list. To enter into the spirit of prayer, we got to stick with it for a while. So perhaps, and I'm not telling you any time, I'm not saying you have to pray this long or whatever, but perhaps you personally would benefit from trying to increase the duration of your prayer sessions. Some of you might be just fine, and I would say don't pray, don't pray more. But some, and I think a lot of us, I put myself in this category, would benefit from praying more, longer. Conclusion. Go to Jude 17. Jude 17. I'll read through verse 21. He says this, but dear friends, remember that the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ were told, and they said to you, in the last times, there'll be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires, and they are the people who will divide you, who follow merely natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. You know, maybe our natural instinct is to spend more time on YouTube. Well, we need to work on that. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you eternal life. He says, pray in the Spirit. So there, you know, must be the potential for us to pray not in the Spirit. You know, just going through the motions, performing a quick ritual so we can move on to the rest of our day. That's possible. So let's think of prayer. Let's think of prayer as spiritual discipline. And let's approach it like any other skill or ability we want to master. If we want to be an athlete, we'll exercise discipline to reach the goals. If we want to be a great musician, we'll exercise discipline. If we want to be a real success in business, we will exercise discipline. We want to have a better spiritual life. We need to exercise self-discipline. And prayer is one of the areas to work on.